Welcome to the deep dive. We are jumping right into something pretty critical today.
We really are. There is a lot to cover.
Yeah, but before we get into the weeds, I want to establish our foundation here. This deep dive is brought to you by Eureka Business Group.
Right.
If you operate in Texas, you already know they are the premier authority and commercial real estate broker in the Dallas-Fort Worth market, specializing specifically in retail.
And looking at the sheer volume of data we have to get through today, having that localized expert lens is, well, it's not just helpful, it is absolutely essential for anyone trying to navigate this market.
Exactly. So for context, we are looking at a very dense compilation of the top 50 U.S. commercial real estate headlines from late February to early March of 2026.
It is a lot of reading.
It is. And the goal today is straightforward but ambitious. We need to cut through this massive influx of macroeconomic noise and isolate exactly what is happening in the retail sector.
Keeping a laser focus on Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yes. DFW is the main event here.
Yeah.
And the overarching narrative, I mean, it's a study in contrasts.
Oh, completely.
If you just casually scroll the headlines right now, you're hit with this wall of noise about office sector woes, national policy whiplash, corporate restructuring. It sounds incredibly bleak.
It does sound bleak. But when you bypass those headlines and look at the actual transactional data, a completely different reality emerges.
Yeah.
There's a massive, very aggressive surge of institutional capital quietly flowing into physical retail.
Quietly flowing, but it's a flood.
It is a flood. And a disproportionate amount of that capital is targeting Texas.
So to understand why that capital is moving, we have to look at the macro picture. Because this year kicked off with a serious breakout.
It really did. January saw an absolute explosion in commercial real estate deal activity.
Let's give them the numbers.
Right. Transaction volume hit $24.1 billion.
Wow.
That is a 28% surge right out of the gate. And that propelled the Lightbox CRE Activity Index up to 110.7.
Which is huge. To put that index number in perspective for you, it means deal velocity is officially breaking out of the deep freeze we saw over the last 18 months. The dam on capital deployment is finally breaking.
And you can really see the pressure that built up behind that dam. Real estate fundraising had a massive year in 2025. It jumped 29% to $222.2 billion.
Just a ton of dry powder.
Exactly. You have all this dry powder sitting on the sidelines waiting for the right moment. Lenders are returning to the market with aggressive mandates.
Yeah, David Scheckman at Meridian Capital Group noted recently that the industry is the most active it has ever been, simply because, as he put it, everyone wants to put out money.
Everyone wants to put out money, but the environment it is stepping into is, well, it's incredibly volatile right now, especially regarding trade policy.
The trade policy shifts are definitely creating a raw environment for underwriting.
Yeah, and just to impartially lay out the facts from the source material here, on February 20th, 2026, the Supreme Court issued a 6-3 ruling deeming President Trump's reciprocal global tariffs unconstitutional under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act.
Right, and that decision temporarily reversed the duties on imports from Canada, Mexico, and China.
But then the White House pivoted immediately. They announced plans to restore a 15% blanket tariff utilizing entirely different legal avenues, specifically Section 232 and Section 301.
And for commercial real estate development, that kind of policy whiplash is a nightmare.
It really is.
It creates immediate uncertainty around the cost of foundational construction materials. We're talking about lumber, plumbing fixtures, commercial appliances.
Things you absolutely need to build.
Exactly. It makes locking in a new development budget incredibly tricky because your material costs could swing wildly between breaking ground and cutting the ribbon.
I get the caution there, definitely. But what stands out to me is how developers are choosing to react to it. There is this great quote from an industry insider in the sources regarding the tariff uncertainty. They essentially said, you just have to be the Soviet tractor and keep moving forward.
The Soviet tractor approach.
Just put your head down and plow straight through the obstacles.
That's a striking analogy. But from an investment standpoint, you know, it carries a lot of risk. Plowing ahead works when the fundamentals support it, but you are still at the mercy of shifting macroeconomic indicators.
Like the jobs report.
Exactly. Look at the February jobs report.
Yeah.
92,000 non-farm payroll jobs lost and unemployment rising to 4.4%.
On the surface, losing 92,000 jobs sounds like a massive red flag for any consumer-driven sector. especially retail.
Sure, normally it would be.
But in the upside-down world of capital markets, bad news for the broader economy is often interpreted as excellent news for interest rates.
That is the paradox we're in.
Right. That weak jobs data is significantly increasing the market's bets that the Federal Reserve will be forced to cut rates from their current pause of 3.5 to 3.75%.
And that potential rate path is the single most critical gating factor for commercial real estate right now. It dictates the math on refinancing, it dictates cap rates, and it ultimately determines whether a deal pencils out or falls apart before it even reaches committee.
So if developers believe those rate cuts are coming, they are willing to play the role of the Soviet tractor.
They are. They will absorb that short-term material cost pain for long-term financing relief.
That resilience in the face of macro uncertainty perfectly explains the strange duality we are seeing in the national retail landscape right now. We are essentially looking at the great retail bifurcation.
I like that term for it.
On one side, you have the retail reckoning. An estimated 7,900 stores are expected to close in 2026. Major footprints are shrinking. We are seeing major reductions from Francesca's, Macy's, Wendy's, and obviously the very high-profile bankruptcy of Saks Global.
And the immediate reaction to nearly 8,000 closures is usually sheer panic.
Naturally.
But you have to weigh that against the counter-narrative, which is the 5,500 new stores opening this year.
Right. It's not a one-way street.
Exactly. The retail sector isn't dying. It is aggressively restructuring. The groups that are expanding are the discounters, the convenience concepts, and the massive retail giants who have the capital to adapt.
Like Target.
Target is a prime example. They are executing a $5 billion capital investment plan for 2026 alone. They're planning to open more than 30 new stores and completely remodel over 130 existing locations.
And it is not just who is occupying the space, but how that space functions within the larger property. The evolution of the retail anchor is probably the most compelling national trend right now.
The anchor is totally changing.
Yeah. The traditional massive department store anchor, that giant windowless box at the end of the mall, is fading. And in their place, we are seeing experiential tenants completely taking over. Gyms, massive indoor pickleball courts, and even private membership clubs are revitalizing these centers.
The strategy behind that shift is brilliant in its simplicity. Take Parkhouse, for example, which is taking over space in Dallas's Highland Park Village.
Great example.
A traditional department store might get a consumer to visit once a month for an hour. A private club, a high-end wellness center, or a boutique fitness studio brings that same affluent consumer to the property 3 to 4 times a week.
And dwell time equals dollars.
Precisely. If you keep them on the property longer, they buy coffee, they pick up dinner, they shop at the smaller inline tenants.
So you look at nearly 8,000 store closures nationally and assume the market is cratering. But then you look at the vacancy data, and CoStar is forecasting that retail vacancy rates will peak at under 4.4% in 2026.
Which is incredibly tight.
It remains near historic lows. The only way that math works, where closures are high but vacancy stays that tight, is if the supply side has completely shut off. Which is exactly what is happening. New retail construction starts are expected to drop by 37%.
When you combine steady backfill demand from these expanding experiential concepts with a multi-decade low in new construction, the available space simply gets absorbed. Landlords with prime real estate have incredible pricing power right now because tenants just have nowhere else to go.
And that dynamic is magnified tenfold when you zoom in on the specific market our sponsor, Eureka Business Group, operates in. The Dallas-Fort Worth retail juggernaut.
It really is a juggernaut right now.
The biggest retail story hitting the wire for Texas right now is Blackstone. They are placing a massive $441.5 million bet on the state.
This Blackstone acquisition is the ultimate proof of concept for everything we just discussed regarding institutional capital. They acquired a portfolio of 16 grocery-anchored properties across Texas.
A huge portfolio.
It is a 1.9 million square foot portfolio that is more than 96% occupied. And crucially for you listening today, four of these major centers are located right in Dallas-Fort Worth.
What I find fascinating is the actual capital stack they used to pull this off. They utilized a $331.2 million floating rate loan alongside $110.3 million in equity.
Right.
Using a floating rate debt structure of that size right now is not just a standard financing choice. It is a direct multi-hundred million dollar wager by institutional money that those Federal Reserve rate cuts we talked about are absolutely going to happen.
That is exactly how you read the tea leaves of institutional finance. Adam Leslie, a managing director at Blackstone, explicitly stated that grocery-anchored retail is a high-conviction theme for them.
The fundamentals there are virtually bulletproof.
They are. These best-in-class grocery centers in top DFW markets are commanding incredibly tight cap rates, landing between 5.25% and 5.5%. Institutional investors are desperate for yield and stability, and no matter what happens with tariffs or tech stocks, people will always need groceries.
Always. But it is not just massive acquisitions making waves. Mm-hmm. It is ground-up development, too, which really defies that national trend of consumption slowdowns we mentioned earlier.
Yes, DFW is bucking the trend.
Weitzman is currently developing the Custer Frontier Marketplace in McKinney. We are talking about a 170,000-square-foot center anchored by a massive 99,000-square-foot Kroger Marketplace.
That is massive for a ground-up build right now.
Building something of that scale from the ground up signals unbelievable confidence in the fast-growing suburban corridors north of Dallas.
Oh, you don't build a 99,000-square-foot grocery store based on hope. Mm-hmm. You build it based on rooftops and jobs. Retail always follows the consumer. If you are underwriting a retail strip in a place like McKinney or Prosper right now, you have to look at the macro growth driving that specific submarket. On the residential side, Homebound Technologies just closed a $731 million deal for over 1,000 residential lots.
$731 million.
That is almost $750 million just in land value spread across Dallas, Prosper, Flower Mound, and Mansfield.
And the corporate relocations and industrial builds are fueling those residential buys. MKE Materials is building a $1.25 billion rare earth magnet manufacturing campus in Northlake. That single project is going to create 1,500 highly skilled, well-paying jobs.
That changes a local economy overnight.
It does. And meanwhile, AT&T is executing a massive $1.35 billion headquarters move to Plano, bringing up to 10,000 jobs over the next decade.
Think about the ripple effects of an AT&T move. 10,000 jobs in Plano isn't just 10,000 desks in a building. It represents thousands of daily lunch orders, thousands of dry cleaning trips, after-work gym sessions, and grocery runs.
The infrastructure required for that is immense.
Exactly. Those thousands of new workers require a massive, localized retail infrastructure to support them. The corporate job growth dictates the residential housing growth, which in turn absolutely guarantees the retail demand.
And while the suburbs are booming, the urban core in DFW is telling its own unique story. Dallas-Fort Worth has seen a staggeringly strong return-to-office push, hitting nearly 87% visitation.
That is a staggering number compared to the rest of the country.
It is. That aggressive return has propelled DFW to become the number three co-working market in the entire United States.
And that is a critical metric for urban retail. Daytime foot traffic is the absolute lifeblood of city center retail. When you contrast that strong office utilization in DFW with the global headline that Amazon is shedding more than 14 million square feet of office space just to cut their vacancy rates, it really highlights how hyper-localized real estate dynamics are right now.
Totally different world.
Texas is operating on a completely different wavelength than the broader national narrative. You cannot apply a national office doom loop thesis to a market experiencing 87% visitation.
It changes the entire paradigm. Now, as we talk about the incredible vibrancy of the DFW retail market today, the information we are reviewing also provides a moment to reflect on the architectural and visionary history that built it. We received news of the passing of an incredibly influential Dallas developer, Henry S. Miller III, at the age of 79.
His impact on the exact asset classes and neighborhoods that define the premium DFW market today cannot be overstated.
A true pioneer.
Absolutely. Long before the phrase live work play became a standard overused commercial real estate cliche, Miller was out there actually building it. He proved that consumers crave density and connection.
If you walk through West Village today, you see exactly what his vision was. He created it back in 2001. At the time, Dallas was almost exclusively a driving city, not a walking city. But he essentially rewrote the playbook for urban living in North Texas by envisioning a dense, walkable district where apartments, restaurants, and retail seamlessly blended together.
He fundamentally changed the landscape.
He also led the transformation of Highland Park Village into one of the premier luxury retail destinations in the country and built the Preston Royal Shopping Center into an absolute neighborhood touchstone.
He had a rare, intuitive understanding of what consumers actually wanted from their physical environment. He understood that retail isn't just about facilitating a transaction. It is about creating a sense of place.
Creating an experience.
Right. People want to linger in environments that feel purposeful and engaging. That philosophy, that real estate should foster community, is the exact foundational principle driving the success of the experiential retail we are seeing thrive right now.
It all comes full circle. So to synthesize all of this for you, we have covered a tremendous amount of ground today. The broader U.S. economy is currently navigating intense tariff debates, volatile material costs, shifting job numbers, and highly scrutinized interest rate policies.
A lot of macro noise.
But underneath all of that macro noise, the retail commercial real estate sector, and specifically the Dallas-Fort Worth market, is experiencing a massive, undeniable influx of institutional capital. Grocery-anchored centers and highly amenitized experiential retail are proving to be the absolute winners in this current economic cycle.
And this is exactly why these localized insights matter to you. Whether you are an investor looking to deploy dry powder, a developer trying to navigate construction costs and tariff whiplash, or a retail tenant looking for the perfect expansion site in a booming suburb, understanding these massive capital flows and that hyper-localized DFW demand drivers is the only way to make informed decisions in 2026.
You simply cannot rely on national headlines to dictate your local strategy.
Exactly. Partnering with a specialized, deeply embedded authority like Eureka Business Group is more critical now than ever before because they understand the nuances of this specific soil.
Absolutely. The data makes that incredibly clear. As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, specifically regarding this flood of institutional money.
It is the defining trend right now.
It is. We are seeing titans like Blackstone aggressively rolling up grocery-anchored retail across Texas, dropping hundreds of millions of dollars at a time to secure these prime assets. What happens to the independent local retailers in these DFW corridors when Wall Street ultimately dictates the rent across the board?
That is the big question.
Does the increasing homogenization of these institutional retail spaces open up a brand new, highly profitable niche for local developers? Could we see a wave of boutique development built exclusively for independent, homegrown concepts that are priced out of the Blackstone portfolios?
That tension between institutional scale and local flavor is going to be a fascinating dynamic to watch unfold in the coming years.
It really is, and it will likely define the next era of development here. Thank you for taking this deep dive into the market with us today, and a special thanks to Eureka Business Group for making this level of analysis possible. Until next time, keep looking past the headlines.